Welcome back to another edition of the On the Rocks podcast. I'm Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post. I think we have a good show for you today. As most of you are probably aware, Matt Holliday has rejoined the Rockies. In fact, he is starting in left field this afternoon against the Padres. Matt's been playing well at AAA, and the Rockies figure, hey, he still has some pop in his bat. He's a good veteran presence. He has playoff experience. Why not give it a shot? So Matt Holliday is indeed back where it all started, and he'll play this afternoon against the San Diego Padres. And of course, you well remember, it was Matt Holliday who did the faceplant slash slide in game 163 in 2017 that sparked Rocktober and sent the Rockies to their only World Series. But there's more than just Matt Holliday to discuss. My colleague Kyle Newman sat down with John Gray, the Gray Wolf, and talked about John's season. It's been an interesting one, no doubt. John, as we all know, struggled, got sent down to AAA for a tune-up and to get himself right, and now he's come back and pitched exceptionally well, including Wednesday night as the Rockies beat the Padres and kept pace in the NL West. So good stuff from Kyle Newman and John Gray. John also gives his views on this young starting rotation and where it's going. And then in segment three, I'll have my thoughts on the Rockies, including what Matt Holliday could mean for this team and what the Rockies need to do down the stretch if they are indeed going to stay in the playoff hunt and if they indeed are going to win their first National League West title. So please stay with us. Coming up next, Kyle Newman sits down with the Gray Wolf himself, John Gray.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the On the Rocks podcast this week. This is sports writer Kyle Newman here in the Colorado Rockies clubhouse with the special guest on the show today, and you all might have heard of him, John Gray, starter for the Rockies. And John, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Want to start off with, since you've been recalled, July 14th, 6-0 the Rockies are in the starts that you made. 2.55 ERA, you're holding opponents to a 181 average, 38 strikeouts, just 9 walks, and you've picked up 2 wins personally in that time. What's been kind of the difference since you came back from Albuquerque?
Well, I just kind of had to hit the reset button when I was down in Albuquerque, and one of the things I realized, I wasn't really enjoying baseball anymore, so I tried to make just having fun at the ballpark every day just a daily goal, and I think that kind of takes care of a lot of things in itself, but when hitting the reset button, I just kind of got back into throwing the way I do, and you know, I put everything that was in my head out of the way and just started over, and it was fresh.
When you came back and the success you've been having and working around some moments in those outings where it's like, is he going to go off the rails, going to have a big inning, you seem to correct that. How is that, just mentally, I mean, how have you been maybe approaching those moments of adversity differently?
I just think that I'm seeing opportunity now in everything. And when the situations come up, and there's always difficult situations in every start, maybe two or three, but I found out whenever you escape those situations at least half the time, I mean, you're going to still end up with a pretty good game. So when those tough situations arise, and I don't think too much about anything that could happen bad, you know. But before I make the pitch, I want to see it out in my head and see all the good things that could happen. So when I'm focused on that, I notice that the results end up being better.
Again, folks, Kyle Newman alongside John Gray here in the Rockies clubhouse on this week's show of the On the Rocks podcast, talking with the right-hander and talking a little bit about his comeback from AAA and his surge here in the second half. But hey, Rockies now, you guys are right back in the thick of things in the divisional race and the wild card. And you talk about having fun at the ballpark every day. Obviously, there's a certain amount of pressure that comes when you're in the race at this point in the season. But how fun is it to just kind of be right in the race right now, right in the thick of things?
It is. When you take a step back and, you know, everything's happening right now is crazy. And it seems like it's moving like a million miles per hour. But you take a step back and realize what exactly you're doing. You know, it's not too hard to be happy and excited about what's going on. So I think that's the best place we can kind of, you know, hang our hat and dwell on is, you know, what we've done and what we're capable of. So I think if we keep our focus on that, I think we'll be heading in the right direction.
So, John, on last week's podcast, I proclaimed this year's Colorado rotation as the best ever in franchise history. And you can take a listen to that, folks, if you want to hear my argument on that. But I guess from your standpoint, I mean, what kind of pride do you get in being a part of this rotation? I know some things left to accomplish yet, but just what you've done this season and the other guys in the rotation, what can you say about that?
Well, there's just a lot of things to be proud of. You know, for one, you know, most of our young starters are made up of, you know, they're 25 or, you know, younger. So,
right.
You know, I'm one of the older guys. I'm 26. And what's really cool is collectively as a group, you know, like Chad said in an interview this week, Bettis, that, you know, no one's really scared to pitch in Coors Field anymore. And I think that's something we kind of do take a lot of pride in is, you know, we're the guys that can pitch here. And we're the ones who can have success, and we're going to show that it can happen.
And Freeland on track to set the home ERA record. I think he's like at 2.2 something right now. What have you taken from him and just kind of how he approaches pitching at Coors and not necessarily like dominating guys with strikeouts like you tend to do, but pitching to weak contact and just being aggressive?
I think the thing I admire most about Freeland is every single pitch he's, it's 100% aggressiveness, controlled aggression. And He's not a guy that's ever going to show any fear. He's not a guy that's going to shy away. He's going to go at people every single time. And I think that, you know, him fighting tooth and nail every single time he's on the field for every pitch that's what I admire the most about him. That's what I want to be able to do myself. So I think that's part of what makes him really good.
Again, folks, Kyle Newman alongside John Gray on this week's On the Rocks podcast. Tune into the final segment. Patrick Saunders has some more analysis of the club. But, John, before I let you go, one more thing. Coming off a great road trip as of the recording of this show, a 5-1, just lost that one game to the defending champs in Houston. Team, it seems like they're playing up to the hype now. They're playing up to all the preseason expectations. How do you continue that into the rest of August and critical September as well?
Yeah, it's it's something that hasn't really been there for us all year. You know, we knew we were capable of doing this, but things really weren't, you know, working together right away. But I don't think we really panicked. You know, we picked each other up when we needed to, and the bullpen was struggling. You know, the bats picked us up, and the bats struggling. You know, the pitching picked us up. So, I think us continuing to do that is really what got us here. But I'm really excited to see what we're going to do now that things are starting to click. So. I think if we just we have fun every day, take care of our business, and just play for each other, I think we'll get to our goal.
Folks, that was the Gray Wolf. John, thanks for coming on the show. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me.
Again, folks, this is the On the Rocks podcast. Tune in to segment number 3. Patrick Saunders has more analysis of the Colorado Rockies Baseball Club.
Welcome back to segment 3 of the latest On the Rocks podcast. I'm Patrick Saunders, Rockies beat writer for the Denver Post and DenverPost.com. Hey, thanks again to John Gray for sitting down with my colleague Kyle Newman to share some of his thoughts on what he's been through this season, where the Rockies are going, and the great promise of the Rockies' young starting rotation. I must say, John Gray, for all of his ups and downs, all the expectations laid on him, has been nothing but a class act his whole career. A genuinely likable, good guy, fun to talk to, candid, honest. Those of us in the media really appreciate it. So good stuff there from Kyle and John Gray. Well, as promised, I'm going to share a few thoughts on the state of the Rockies. Let's start off with the Matt Holliday situation. Holliday, of course, starts this afternoon in left field against the San Diego Padres. Bud Black said today that he does not plan to use Holiday at first base. So essentially, you're going to see Matt Holiday in left field when he starts, and you'll see him as a power right-handed bat off the bench. My guess is we're going to see more of Matt Holiday off the bench than we will in left field for a couple of reasons. The Rockies have a plethora of outfielders, all of them better, let's face it, in the field than Matt Holiday. But what the Rockies needed was a powerful right-handed bat, somebody, in Bud Black's words, who could scare the opposition a little bit. And Matt Holiday is certainly capable of doing that. Great to see Matt again this morning. Of course, he left here in Colorado. He left Colorado in 2008. I've seen him a few times since, but man, is he in incredible shape. I mean, Matt Holiday works out like nobody I've ever seen in baseball. He certainly is capable of giving the Rockies 5, 6, hopefully longer weeks of some productive hits off the bench. And who knows, maybe it's Jason Giambi 2009 all over again, when the Giambino came off the bench for that 2009 team and delivered a number of big hits as the Rockies made their way into the postseason. From my perspective, this is really a can't-lose situation. Holiday's a veteran. He's been through the pennant races before. He's a good clubhouse presence. And plus, you know, the Rockies will have a ton of young guys coming up for the September call-ups if they want them. So this really is a no-lose situation for the Rockies. I do wonder, however, how much playing time Matt will get in left field. We'll see. I think it depends on who the Rockies are facing. It'll depend a lot on if it's a left-hander on the mound, and if that is the case, we might see more of Matt Holiday than a lot of us might have anticipated. Anyway, I'm all on board. I'm excited to see how this plays out. I don't think it's simply a reunion. It's not a nostalgia tour. Matt Holiday's here to help the Rockies win, and I think he might be able to do it. We'll see. We'll see. Some few other thoughts regarding the Rockies as we head down to the last, 5, 6 weeks of the season. The bullpen has stabilized a little bit of late, but if you take a closer look, part of the reason is the starting pitching has been going deep into games, and Bud Black has not had to rely on Brian Shaw or Jake McGee to salvage innings late in the game. He's been essentially able to go with Adam Ottavino and closer Wade Davis, and Scott Oberg has certainly become a pretty reliable right-handed arm out of the bullpen. That's good to see. However, we know down the stretch the Rockies are going to have to go to a left-hander, be it Jake McGee, be it Chris Russon, and at some point Brian Shaw is going to be pushed into a corner and he's going to have to perform as was expected all season. So the bullpen, although it seems to have improved a lot, still remains, in my eyes, it still remains a concern. But that's not new to a lot of teams. You look at the Washington Nationals, who essentially waved the white flag. Part of their big problem has been the bullpen. The Dodgers, with Kenley Jansen ailing, the bullpen has been a problem for them. So it's all over baseball. If the Rockies continue to get good starting pitching and at least get a modicum of success at their bullpen, they're going to be right there. I wrote the other day about the woes of the Rockies offense. Coming into today's game, their team batting average was right about 254. If it continues to at that pace, that would be the lowest team batting average in franchise history. Not what we expected out of a team that features Charlie Blackmon, DJ LeMahieu, Nolan Arenado, Carlos Gonzalez, Trevor Story, Ian Desmond, on and on and on. The Rockies have not been that productive either at home, which is a little bit shocking. Their team batting average is not the whole story. They haven't hit particularly well with two outs and runners in scoring position. They haven't been able to string together inning after inning after inning, which would make this team a formidable offensive force. The Rockies are going to have some shootouts down the stretch. I have no doubt about that. And I'm wondering if this team can win those kind of shootouts. I think on paper they should be able to. But Charlie Blackmon certainly needs to heat up. DJ LeMahieu needs to heat up as well. And throughout the order, the Rockies need more consistency and more big hits. The schedule is going to be really interesting as we head toward the end of August and into September. Rockies have a ton of games left against both the D-backs, the Dodgers, and then also the Giants and the Padres. Difficult to win against your division foes because they know you so well. I know a lot of fans get upset when the Rockies lose to the Padres, who of course are chained to the NL West basement. But when you play teams so often, the teams know you so well, sometimes it's a very difficult task. One good thing, however, the Rockies seem to have righted the ship a little bit against both the D-backs and the Dodgers. The last two times the Rockies played either the D-backs or the Dodgers, the Rockies came away winners. I think that increased their confidence. I think it sent a little bit of a message. And I think the Rockies know that if they bring their A game, they can compete with both the Dodgers and the D-backs. Make no mistake about it, though, the D-backs are the real deal. They have pitching. They have a really deep and good bullpen. And now that A.J. Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt are hitting the ball as well as they are, the D-backs are a formidable opponent. The Rockies are going to have to go some to win the division for the first time in their history. But as I've been saying all year, I still think the window is open now for the Rockies to win their first NL West title. And more than that, if they can avoid simply being the wild card team and actually win the division, I think they can have a good shot of getting deeper into the postseason. Because I don't see a super team out there in the National League. There is not a Boston Red Sox or even a Houston Astros in the National League. I know the Cubs are loaded, but even they have been having some problems. So my hope is the Rockies can indeed win their first division title and get beyond just the wild card round. And finally, let me say something about manager Bud Black. I work Twitter all the time. I see all the criticisms of Black and why he did this move or why he does that move. Sometimes I disagree with Bud Black. Usually I agree with him. But I will say this for him. He has had a very, very steady hand at the wheel this season. When the Rockies were playing like crap in June, he never panicked. He gave this team a sense of confidence. And I love how Bud Black, as well as Steve Foster and Darren Holmes, have fostered this young pitching staff. It's been tremendous to see the growth of players like, pitchers like Kyle Freeland, Erman Marquez, Antonio Sensatella, John Gray, has been remarkable. And it's the reason the Rockies have a chance to make the postseason this year. So with Bud Black, it's not just that he's terrific with us in the media. His players are generally fond of him. He's tough when he needs to be, but he also knows when to yield a delicate touch. And I know some people get upset that Bud Black is not harsher in postgame press conferences when the team fails or when a pitcher doesn't perform as expected. But Bud Black, I can tell you, is never, ever going to throw a player under the bus in public. It's just not his way. He knows it's counterproductive. It's not a good way to send a message to the team or even the fans. Bud Black's been around long enough to realize this. I respect him in so many ways. And let me make this prediction. If the Rockies, one, make the playoffs, and two, if they win the NL West, Bud Black will be the National League Manager of the Year. So those are my thoughts about the state of the Rockies. Let's see how it keeps playing out. And once again, thanks to my colleague, Kyle Newman. Thanks to the Gray Wolf, John Gray. And please join us next time for the On the Rocks podcast. For the Denver Post, I'm Patrick Sarnes.